Hi.
Christ, believing Jesus. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace, love, and mercies. Thank you for your presence and power, working great things in our lives and situations. Thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit that gives us joy and peace at all times. Thank you for impossible things you have made possible unto us. Thank you for enforcing your will to happen to us all the time. You have not allowed the will of the enemy, the desires of Satan, to happen in our lives. You have done only your will. You have allowed only your will to prevail in our lives and situations. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for giving us understanding into the knowledge of you. Understanding of your truth, your kingdom, your power, your grace, your nature, your ways. You have made us to understand these things so that we can grow in them and be established in them. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for frustrating the plans of the enemy and for ensuring that their plans against us come to nothing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for preserving us from being destroyed by the attacks of agents and powers of darkness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the Bible study classes we have been having here for some time now. We thank you for how you have used the teachings we hear to shape our lives correctly, to edify us and to transform us. We are here this evening, this day, once again to learn at your feet, Lord Jesus. You are the Word of God, the living Word, the eternal Word. Speak to everyone here. Minister to every heart. Uproot and plant in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lost Presence. As you know, we are moving to a new topic. We are already done with building a strong discerning spirit. We're already done with that topic or that title, or maybe you can call it theme. So now we are moving to a new teaching series. Yeah, before we start the new teaching, I'm going to ask a question based on the last what we did in the last class. Remember that in the last class, the topic was whenever you ask for grace, you ask for angelic. Whenever you ask for grace, you ask for angelic intervention. Very simple. Those of you that were here last week, you just need to mention a Bible verse. I used during the last class verses. One of the scriptures that I used during the teaching. Right, during the teaching. So just mention one. That's all. That's the question. Yeah. So any of you that remember, you can type your answer while we move to the next teaching. So we're going to be looking at a broad topic that says the Christian's relationship to society. The Christian's relationship. How we should relate to the society. And to the affairs in this world. How we should relate to people in this world. Everybody around us. The people you how you should relate with them, your family members, your relatives, your friends, the people in your community, how you should relate with them. That is the topic we're going to be looking at. It's not that much, maybe in some few. Is not that long. I repeat again, the Christian's relationship to society. Different. I think we have like 1, 2, 4, 5. And those subtopics, they also have. Yeah, so now the first one is point number one, or subtopic number one, is Christians do not belong to this world. To society, to our immediate environment, community, society, to the people around us, we must first acknowledge and agree with the fact that we do not belong to this world. So Christians do not belong to this world. You don't belong to this world. So every time you go out there, or walking on the streets, you find yourself in the marketplace, you're trying to buy some food items, or you're trying to buy gas to your vehicle, buy fuel, always let it ring in your, always let it continually be in your mind, in your head, in your brain, in your heart, that you do not belong to this world. Let it always be with you. In fact, that is how you be able to live. That is how you will be able to live for Jesus here on earth. You must let that stay strong in your mind. That understanding, that awareness, that consciousness, it must always be with you. It must always be alive in your mind. You must let it control everything you do. You must let that awareness and consciousness control everything you do. And what is the awareness? That you do not belong to this world. You don't belong to this world. So if you can walk in each day of your life in that consciousness, you are more likely to make heaven. Yeah. You're more likely to make heaven. So as I said, Christians do not belong to this world. Christians do not belong to this world. Let us look at John chapter 15. John 15 verse 19. John 15 verse 19. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. I'm going to read it again. If ye were of the world, the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. you were of this world, the world will love us. The world will love us. They will help us. They will support us. They will trust us. They will believe in us. They will help us to succeed, prosper, make progress, if we were of them, if we are like them. Yeah, but because we are not of this world, Jesus chose us out of the world. That's the meaning of church. The meaning of church is an assembly of people who have been called out of the world. Called out of the world system. So a church is a called out people. People who have been separated from the world. From among unbelievers. To be with God. To serve the living God. To walk with God. To worship God. And to please God. So those people are Christians. And a collective name for them is a church. Yeah. So that's the meaning of a church. A church means called out people. People who were chosen out of the world to be with God and to journey through this world till they go to where they belong. Since we don't belong to this world, then there's a place we belong to. So we are on a journey to enter that place that we belong to. And you know where we belong to. God's kingdom. That is where we belong. Yeah, so under this point number one, which I call Christians do not belong to this world. We have 5 points under this subtopic. We have point A, B, C, D, E. Yeah. Point A. I believe you have writing materials and you are jotting down. Yeah. Point A says we are citizens of heaven. We are citizens of heaven. Not citizens of this world. Though the government of our countries can give us citizenship, but we know that our citizenship is not here. We know where we belong. We do not belong here. And I hope every one of you agree with this in your heart, that you do not belong here. I hope you fully agree with that. Otherwise, I fear that you are not a Christian. Point A, we are citizens of heaven. Now let's look at John chapter 14, verse 2 to 3. John chapter 14, verse 2 to 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Praise the Lord. This is Jesus saying that in his Father's house are many mansions. Many mansions. Yeah, so you don't need to wait until someone tells you that he got a vision of heaven. Jesus took him to heaven and showed him beautiful mansions that are in heaven waiting for the saints. You don't need anyone to tell you that before you believe. I mean, you don't need anyone to see any vision before you believe that there are mansions up there with our names on it. These are mansions waiting for us. Mansions that are far, far, far beautiful and glorious than anyone you could think of in this world. We're talking about buildings that breathes. Yeah, have you ever seen a building that can breathe? Just like living things, like animals, just as they have lungs and they could breathe in air, breathe out, breathe in and breathe out. I mean, have you ever thought of that? Living in a mansion that is as alive as you are alive. You that is inside the mansion, just as you are alive, and then the mansion you are living inside is also full of life. Meaning that even the mansion can sing hallelujah, can shout hallelujah, can praise God. And you can speak to the building, and the building will respond to you. So imagine living in that kind of mansion that is so full of life. There's nothing like that in this world. Even the most sophisticated computerized buildings cannot be like the mansions Jesus said are in his Father's house or in his Father's kingdom. Yeah, so indeed, we do not belong to this world. And we should always set our hearts on where we belong. We should always think about that place. We should always meditate about that place. Yeah, and we should do everything to not miss that place. Because you can miss heaven if you walk carelessly with God. If you turn away from following him. If you embrace darkness, embrace sin, and begin to deliberately disobey him, deliberately sin against him, you will miss that place. So those of us that want to enter that place, we know how we should live our lives. Because we know that that place is very pure and no unclean thing can enter. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I was hearing one of the false teachers preaching yesterday. Yeah, you know, we have a lot of false teachers out there, false pastors out there that are misleading a lot of people. He was saying that we are already in heaven. He was saying that there is no heaven somewhere that is full of mansions, beautiful, that we would be caught up to enter, or that we would enter after we have died in these physical bodies. Yeah, he was saying there's nothing like that. He was saying we're already in heaven. And all sorts of things the man was saying, I was just laughing. Yeah, because he has been deceived and he's busy deceiving other people. And so many people were sharing him up. So many people were following him. Yeah. So that is a false doctrine. We are not yet in this place that Jesus said he is preparing for us. We are not yet in this place. Yeah. So anyone that is saying that we are not trying to enter heaven, that we are already in heaven, don't listen to that person. Yeah, we are not yet in heaven. They don't even know what heaven is like. Yeah, they don't. Yeah, so they don't even know the kind of technology. The kind of technology and perfection that is there. Yeah. So only a fool will say that we're already in heaven. Yes, we have the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. We feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. We are full of the power of the Holy Ghost. We see signs and wonders happen. We see revivals, we hear God's voice, we are being led by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we are seeing heavenly things, heavenly signs and wonders. Yeah, but that doesn't mean we are in heaven yet. We are not yet in heaven. Whatever we are seeing is just a fragment. Yeah. Some people will say a tip of the iceberg. It's just a fragment. We have not seen anything yet. No, we have not seen anything. It's just a fragment. I mean a very tiny fragment that we are seeing presently. So we are not yet in heaven. Yes, Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is inside of us. He said the kingdom of God is in us. Yes, and that is true. But we are not yet in. He did not say we are in. He said he's in us. Preparing to bring us in. Yeah. Yeah, it's in us. So even if we are in heaven, it's just a fragment of heaven that we are in. There's quite a lot that we don't have access to now. Because God has dedicated a time when we will have access to those things in his kingdom. Yeah. So don't be deceived if you hear any teaching like that. Let us also look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 14. Hebrews 11, verse 14. For they that say such things that they seek a country. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Who are they that say such things? You and I. Every time you say that you are a citizen of heaven, then you're saying that you're seeking a country. That's what you're saying. You're seeking a country that you have not yet entered. You're seeking a country that is far greater than your earthly country. You're seeking a land, homeland, that is far greater than where you were born. Hebrews 11, verse 16. Still the same chapter. Now let us read verse 16. It says, but now they desire a better country, that is an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. They desired a better country. Who are these people? You and I. And there were some before us that also desired this heavenly country. Like if you look at verse 13 of this same chapter, Hebrews 11, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. Praise the Lord. They confessed publicly that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. They confessed openly that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So these people have even lived before us, because the writer here was talking about men of faith who lived for God in the Old Testament days. So if in the Old Testament days people already know that there's a better place than this earth, and they don't hide it, they spoke publicly about it, telling everyone that they are pilgrims and strangers here on earth, how much more should we Christians who have been given promises, how much more should we live our lives? Yeah, because we have better hope than they had in their lifetime. Yeah, so they desire a better country that is in heavenly. And because of that, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Let me give you an example. If somebody like Elijah didn't desire a better country, do you think he would have embraced the kind of nomadic and strange lifestyle he lived in the human body? Do you think he would have embraced such a kind of life? Yeah, that is a very strange lifestyle. And not just strange, a very difficult lifestyle. Very sacrificial and painful lifestyle. Imagine someone who have chosen to wear a single cloth. There was no record that Elijah had more than one cloth. Yeah, he only wear a single cloth. And not only that, he only eat a single type of food. Yeah. He would eat white honey. Yeah. I don't think he would eat meat. Maybe he was a vegetarian, I don't know. But strange lifestyle. And he doesn't even live among people. People can't predict when next they will see him. He will just wilderness places. On mountain tops, in the forest. That was the kind of life he was living. I mean, Elijah. All the days of his life. Yeah, if he was not seeking for a sensible person would choose such a lifestyle. I mean, a human being that have, that is in his right sense, life. If he has not got a vision of a better place, a better country, yeah. These men, they lived a highly selfless lives. God was not ashamed wasn't ashamed to be called their God. God wasn't ashamed to back up their words. Yeah. Fall to the ground. Yeah, God wasn't ashamed to publicly honor them, to publicly defend them, to publicly fight for them. Reason is because they have chosen a life that is out of this world. They have chosen to live a life that is completely out of. And we saw the end of it. We saw what happened to Elijah in the end, that he was even taken out of this rhyme in the end. Yeah, so this is how we should live our lives as Christians. Today, I see millions of Christians who have already let me say it this way, who now feel at home. This world, they feel at home in this world. Some have even forgotten that they don't belong to this world. I mean, some Christians today, including pastors, they have even forgotten that they don't belong to this world, that they are citizens of heaven. What, like money, like properties, like their career, profession. They are considering the way they handle those things, because they handle those things passionately, that God don't even have God don't have authority over what they. God cannot place a demand on what they have. Become their God. Yeah. They can't even drop those things. To serve Jesus. Yeah, some Christians, they can't even take a break from their businesses and to seek the Lord, to serve the Lord, to do assignments for. They don't see themselves as not of this world. It means they are not seeking for a better country. Die. They don't want to die. They don't want to die. Because to be a citizen of this world, they have chosen this world as their home, as their place. That is why they don't want to die. Whereas, they don't know that to be a Christian is to not belong to this world at all. I pray that the Lord, we help our generation of Christians before it's too late. Now let's look at Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 verse 14. For here we have no content, but we seek one to come. Hebrews 13 verse 14. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. So here on earth we have no continuing city. So whatever you see now, here on earth, is not going to continue forever. There's an expiry date to this world. The elements of this world shall melt with fervent heat. That's what the scripture says. Everything you see today shall be dissolved into liquid or into nothing. The earth and all the structures or all the things in the second heaven, the planets, the stars, the sun, the moon, they will all pass away. All of them will melt with fire. God already more sea, there will be no more oceans. Everything will go away. They will be destroyed. Yeah. So here, we do not have a continuing city. We seek one to come. And that is heaven. We seek a new heart. We seek a new heaven. Not this one here. Yeah. So why should you labor so much to build what is going to perish eventually? Yeah, why should you labor so much on what is going to perish eventually? Even the most beautiful buildings here on earth shall perish. Yeah, it's just a matter of time. They are all going down. Everything you see presently in the world, they are all going down. Yeah. May the Lord give you wisdom. Yeah, so that is point A. We are citizens of heaven. So now we're going to look at point B. Still under the subtopic that says Christians do not belong to this world. Point B says we are sojourners. We are sojourners in this world. Pilgrims passing through. Sojourners, pilgrims passing through. Praise the Lord. We really need a lot of deliverance in this generation. Because as at this moment I'm talking to you, I can really point at many people that I know personally that have no consciousness that they are sojourners in this world. That they are pilgrims passing through this world. I mean Christians that I know personally. It doesn't cross their mind. I mean it doesn't cross their minds at all that they are sojourners and pilgrims passing through this world. Yeah, and then I begin to think that we really have a big problem in this generation. I mean, we're Christians, as if we're even Christians. Yeah, church people, we have a very big problem. A very big problem. Yeah. Because we are so attached to this world, so glued to the systems of this world, that we have forgotten where we are going. That we have forgotten that we don't belong here. May God open your eyes to see these things. Or maybe you're already saying it. Yeah, because it's not actually hidden. You look at the churches. Look at the focus of the preachings, the teachings, the sermons in most churches and ministries. Yeah, look at what majority seek after. Everyone there is a single. More than 60% of their thoughts is to get married. Yeah, you can do your research. Yeah, go through all the churches and try to get some people fill a questionnaire. Yeah, you can do your research. You will see that majority of the singles, all they are thinking about is to get married. That's what they are thinking about. Yeah, and then those that are married, majority are thinking about have children, have a good job, well-paying job, get some properties, buy houses, buy lands, buy cars, and stuff like that. Yeah, I want to live a beautiful life. I want to live a glorious life. It is well. Yeah, I want to live a prosperous life. That is the focus of many people. You can do your research. You will see that that's what is going on everywhere. Yeah, even in holiness churches, secretly in their hearts, they prefer this world than the better country we are seeking for. Yeah, so we really have a big problem in the body of Christ today. A very big problem. And only Jesus can deliver us. Yeah. I'm not saying that marriage is not good. Yeah, because even myself, I'm married. I'm not saying don't have properties, don't have children, don't build houses, buy land, have good jobs, have cars. I'm not saying they are wrong to have them, but what I'm saying is, you know that you are a sojourner and a pilgrim in this world, you will not seek for those things. You will seek a better country that is coming from God. That is what you will seek. You will seek these things. Yeah, you know, I have gotten to a point in my walk with God that I really have died to many things. Even before I got married, I did not want to get married. I did not want to marry at all. Yeah. I did not. Yeah. So I've gotten to a point that it is God himself that is saying, you have an assignment to do for me, so you need to have this one. You need to have marriage. You need to have this. You need to have that. Yeah, but I was not seeking for any of those things. In fact, I don't want money. To be frank with you, yeah, because I don't need money. Yeah, what I want is this country, this better country. So if I want money, it's because of the assignment God has given to me. Yeah, that's all. Yeah, so we must come to that point. Yeah, but what I'm just saying, a lot of people cannot say that. Even if they say it, they can't say it from their heart because it's not true. They actually love this country. I mean, they love this earth, they love this world, and they love everything there. If you think you're going to have breakthroughs as a Christian by seeking earthly things, you might not have those breakthroughs. If you think you will have marital breakthrough by seeking after marriage, you might not have marital breakthrough. Yeah. We, the pilgrims of God's kingdom, I mean, yeah, citizens of God's kingdom, pilgrims on earth, we don't have earthly things by seeking after earthly things. God gives us earthly things because we seek after heavenly things. Yeah, that is why he gives us earthly things. And he must check our hearts to be sure that we really are seeking after heavenly things. Because some people, they say, yes, I'm seeking after God's kingdom, that's all I want. But if you check deep down in their hearts, you're going to see that it's not true. Yeah, because deep down in their hearts, they still want this world. They still want this country that is not heavenly. May God help you. Now, let's look at Psalm 39. Psalm 39 verse 12. Psalm 39 verse 12. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee, and a sojourner, as all my fathers were. Say, for I am a stranger with thee, and a sojourner. Yeah, you know what that means? He's saying that he's a stranger here, together with God, you know, God with him, here on earth. That he's a stranger. He's a sojourner. So he needs God's help here in this world, because he doesn't belong to this world. So the reason why we do a lot of spiritual warfare prayers is because we don't belong to this world. Yeah, because there are forces in this world that hate us. They don't like us. Because they are of the darkness and we are of the light. There are forces in this world that don't want us to prosper. Yeah, because there's no way you will continue to live in this body and you won't heat. You have to heat to keep the body alive. You have to drink because you are here in this world. So there are forces in this world that don't want Christians to heat and drink. They don't want Christians to have peace of mind. They don't want Christians to succeed in whatever God has given them to do. That is why we do spiritual warfare prayers. Because we're in a war that is hostile to us. Yeah, very hostile to us. And that is why God must fight for us. Even sicknesses and diseases are our enemies. Because the country where we belong, there's no sickness there. There's no pollution there. So you don't fight battles there. Because you are in a state of victory. Yeah. The people in heaven now, they are not fighting sin. They are not fighting Satan. They are not fighting sickness and diseases. They are not fighting anything. They don't struggle for anything. Yeah. Because the entire system in heaven agrees with the life that is in them. Yeah, but that's not the same here. Yeah, so we always need God's help. And because we do not belong here. Psalm 119, verse 19. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. Psalm 119, verse 19. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. I love this verse. This is a man talking to God sincerely. That God, don't hide your commandments from me. Because he knows that there is a force in this earth that is directly opposite to God's commandment, is against God's commandment, is against God's will. There's a system in this world that is directly against God's will. So this man is praying that God should always show him his commandments so that he will not fall by the system of this world. How many Christians are praying this kind of prayer? This man prayed in Psalm 119 verse 19. How many Christians are saying, God, don't hide your commandments from me. Show me all your commandments. In every situation, let me know your directions, your leadings, your instructions. Yeah, and these men that prayed this prayer here, they were even of the Old Testament days. And they already know that they are stranger in the earth. And they already know that without God's commandment, the force in this earth will destroy them. Yeah, because God will only defend those that are doing his will. God is not going to defend those that are not obeying his commandments. I believe you know that. When we cry for his help, we are sure that he will rise to help us because we are doing his commandments. We are sure that he will not leave us stranded, hopeless. He will not leave us to suffer. He will not forsake us because we know that we are doing his commandments. So when we cry, he will come to our rescue because he knows that we will always need his help in this world because this world hates us. And the system of this world hates us. Yeah, so many of you are seeking for God's instructions and commandments every day. I know we already have a lot of his commandments in the Bible. Even that one. How much of the ones you have read in the Bible are you doing? And the ones that comes through the Holy Spirit in our daily activities, daily lifestyle, daily businesses, those instructions that comes from the Holy Spirit to guide us in everything we do on daily basis. Do you seek for those instructions? Do you pray for those instructions? Don't you know that there's always an instruction from the Lord concerning everything we do here every day? There's a way God wants you to do everything you do. There's a way He wants you to talk. There's a way He wants you to think. Do you seek for His instructions concerning those things? May the Lord help you. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 13. Yeah, we have read that. We can read it again. Hebrews 11 verse 13. Received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. He said, all these men, they died in faith. Just as many of us, we also die in faith. Yeah, but we are sure of the country we are going. Yeah, we are sure of God's kingdom. Of course, there's a generation that will not die, and they will experience the rapture. Yeah, they will not die, and the rapture will happen to them. Yeah, we might not be that generation, but we are sure of the country we seek, because we have seen the reality of where we are going. We know where we belong. We know we do not belong to this world. We know where we belong. So we might die and not see it yet. But we know where we are going. Yeah, because it's real. It's very real. You know, there's going to be, let me start from here. Some years back, there were very intense persecution against Christianity. I mean, very intense persecution against Christians. And in those days, we have people who know that, oh God, they know that they are going to die tomorrow, because if you confess that faith in Christ Jesus, happen to know about it, you are gone. They're going to slaughter you. And there are people who know that tomorrow they are going to die. And today, they will surrender their lives to Jesus. The more they were killing Christians at that time, the more the numbers of Christians were increasing. The more they were killing them for their faith, the more their numbers keep growing. Why? Because these people seek a better country. They know, they have that awareness that they are just pilgrims and sojourners in this world. So these are men who do not care for their lives. They do not care for the money they have in the banks. They do not care for anything. Only for Jesus. And to please Jesus. Yeah. Mind you, if those men didn't pay that price, there will not be you and me today on this platform talking about Jesus. If those men did not lay down their lives, they had choice. They could choose the pleasures of this world. They had a choice. Because even before they set them on fire, some of them, they set them on fire in public places for their faith in Jesus. Even before they set them on fire, they will ask them, do you still want to hold on to this faith? Or you are going to recant or deny Jesus? But this man will say, no, I have made up my mind, no turning back. And they will be killed. These are the people who made it possible for you and I to still have to still have the faith that we have now. If those men failed, there will not be you and I. I'm telling you the truth. It's either the whole world would have been destroyed by God, or everyone would be into idol worshipping. Yeah. Now. It is now time for our own generation to prepare the ground for the coming generation. So if the present generation of Christians fail, let it be known to you that there will not be another generation of Christians. If you and I fail at this time, let it be known to you that that is the end of the church. Yeah, that is, if we fail to stand out of the system of this world and declare publicly that we do not belong to this world, that we are pilgrims and sojourners, if we fail to defend this faith, let it be known to you today that will be the last generation of Christians. Because a very intense persecution is is coming. Very intense, perhaps more intense than what those people went through before us. Yeah, you can go and read church history, so you'll be able to confirm how many Christians were slaughtered during the persecution, during the time of persecution. Yeah, so we're going to stop here. We still have other points, but because of time, I'll stop here. But I believe everything I have said, you already understand them. Yeah. Okay, maybe that you had this one. There are some people that they are spreading false teaching, saying that I pity them. They are saying that before Christians start going through this intense persecution, which is also known as tribulation, they said before that time comes, would have been raptured, that Jesus would have come, rapture would have happened. Yeah, that's a false teaching. Yeah, because tribulation has always been part of Christianity from the onset of Christianity. Study your Bible. Tribulations, persecutions, killing of Christians have always been part of Christianity from the time it was established in the Acts, in the book of Acts of the Apostles. So now saying that God will not let Christians go through those things, you will just He will just deliver them from. Yeah, it's a lie. Now, this tribulation is different from the wrath of God that is coming upon the world. It's two different things. And even the wrath of God is different from the time of the Antichrist. Yeah, so these are different events. Yeah. The time when the Antichrist will rule the world is different from the time of tribulation. And also the time of tribulation is different from the time of God's wrath, God's judgment upon nations. Yeah, so you should study the book of Revelation very well. So those periods are not the same. Though all of them might be happening at the same time, but they are not the same. Yeah, they are not the same. So the tribulation that will happen to us is not different from the persecution that happened to the apostles and the early Christians. It's not different. So maybe it's the word tribulation that is kind of scaring people. You can replace it with persecution. Yeah, you can replace it with slaughtering of Christians, killing of Christians. So it's all about, are you going to deny Jesus or die? And then you say, I'm not going to deny Jesus. I would prefer to be tortured and killed. Yeah, that's all that tribulation is about. And this is not just happening. It has always been happening to Christians since the time the church started. Yeah. the apostles, you can be sure that you will live till the evening. You can be sure that you will still be alive till evening. If you wake up in the morning, you can't be sure that you'll be alive till evening, because you might not make it till that evening, because there was intense attack on Christians. Yeah. So if you are thinking, my pastor says, there will be no tribulation. The rapture will happen first. Jesus is going to come. He's going to take us out of this place.
That can no longer be saved. So I believe it is when
the Antichrist is getting to that point that he can now prevail over Christians at the soul level to change them into something else that is no longer human. I believe it is at that point that God will have to take us out of this world through rapture. Yeah, but before that time, we must get ready for intense persecution. Yeah, we must get ready for intense persecution. I pray that the Lord will give you more understanding. Yeah, so I asked the question. My question was that those who were part of the last Bible study class should give one Bible verse I mentioned during the class. So, Bro Charles was able to give us one, which is correct. Yeah, I actually mentioned that. I mentioned John chapter 1, verse 16 to 17. And I also said grace is God's ability in action. And then Sister Molin was able to give us Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. So, which is also correct. Yeah. Okay. Sister Dorothy said they use the scripture we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places to back up that we're already in heaven. Yeah, that's what they do. But we do not have full access to those heavenly places yet. Yeah, even though we are there, there's only very little that is being released. And even that little is a peril to the dark kingdom. Because even that little conquers all darkness, conquers Satan, sin. Even the little that we have access to in the heavenly places for now, even that one has conquered the world and all the forces of darkness, including Satan and principalities and all of them. Yeah, so, so you are correct. They use those scriptures and then, so we're going to stop here. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for everything you have exposed to us in this Bible study class. Thank you for showing us from the scriptures how we are strangers and sojourners and pilgrims here on earth, how we do not belong to this world, and how this is very central to our relationship with the society, with everyone in our communities, with everyone, social media platforms, everyone in the world. showing us how we must live each day of our lives with this awareness and mindset and consciousness that we do not belong to this world. I pray that you help everyone here who have had this teaching do as they have heard in this teaching in the name of Jesus. I pray that you become followers of those who have gone before us. Followers of men and women of faith who really walked with God, with complete consecration and separation from the world system. I pray that you follow the examples of such believers. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you will not be deceived by the deceivers and by devils and by agents of darkness. In the name of Jesus, I pray that you will not allow the elements of this world to capture your soul and take your soul out of God's kingdom. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for we know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Yeah, if you have any questions, can ask on the Telegram platform any question based on today's teaching, and then make sure you invite people to be joining these Bible study classes. Yeah, every Christian that you know, invite them and show them how to join.